Series in the book of James this afternoon, and we're continuing also in chapter 3 of that book. So our reading today is James chapter 3 verses 3 to 12, and I'd encourage you to look that up and read along in your own Bibles. And the words, if you don't have a Bible, will also be up on the screen behind me. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. Says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Amen. Friends, I want you to take a moment to think about the ways in which you have been hurt by others. How have you, in your life, been upset or wounded or damaged by another person? Could be a long time ago, or more recent. Could be by someone very close to you, or by a complete stranger. Could be an isolated incident, or it could be an ongoing pattern of harm. For some of us, there may be memories of some kind of actual physical injury. We may have been attacked or assaulted in some way, been physically abused, mistreated, or neglected. And such experiences can be utterly horrific, and they can haunt us for a long time. But far more common than this are memories of being hurt by someone else's words. In a society like ours, physical violence is relatively rare, but yet we can experience verbal violence far more frequently. In many ways, it's the things that people say that cause deeper and more lasting damage than a bodily injury ever will. I'm sure we all remember that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. We used to say that as kids to console ourselves when someone was taunting us or bullying us. But deep down we knew that it was hurting. And we also knew that the hurt would take far longer to heal than any abrasion or any bruise. Friends, which of us have not been damaged by the words of another, by criticism, by insult, by insensitivity, by being lied to or being lied about, by gossip or slander or mockery or harassment? But more to the point, which of us haven't also hurt others with our own words? It can be so easy to see the harm that we've experienced, but so much harder to admit the harm that we ourselves have caused. But the Lord, through James, wants us to really think about that very deeply tonight. From the passage that we're looking at, we're confronted by the sins of the tongue, and we need to consider this very carefully indeed. You see, James is reminding us in this passage that if we genuinely are people who have been rescued and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, people whose lives are being renovated and, renewed by the Holy Spirit, people who are being prepared to spend eternity with our holy God, well, then that will also have a dramatic effect on the way that we speak to one another. And so James in this passage alerts us to three important truths about the human tongue. And the first of those truths is that the tongue is very powerful. And he explains that to us with two vivid illustrations. First of all, in verse 3, he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. I don't think I need to tell you, do I, that a horse is a big and a strong and a determined creature. They can be erratic, they can be uncontrollable, they can be risky. But yet by putting a small and seemingly insignificant bit between their teeth, we can bring such a powerful animal under complete control and make it go wherever we want. Verse 4, or take ships as an example, James says. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Imagine how hard it would be to manage a huge vessel out on the open seas, like the Spirit of Tasmania out on Bass Strait. Imagine how it would be pushed around by the wind and the waves going every which way except for the desired direction. But yet with just a tiny rudder, we can set our course and safely reach our destination. The point that James is making is that small things sometimes, like horses' bits and ships' rudders, can exert great power over much larger things and set their whole direction. And the human tongue is just like that. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Think about the size of your own tongue. So small compared to your body. So insignificant compared to the sphere of your life. But yet it has an influence way beyond its diminutive size. And that's because a small tongue can say such big things. With your tongue, you can make friends, or you can lose them. With your tongue, you can get a job, or you can get the sack. With your tongue, you can build somebody up, or you can tear them down. You can woo your spouse, or you can wreck your marriage. You can keep your children close by, or you can drive them far away. You can bring about peace, or you can cause a conflict. You can build up the church, or you can break it apart. Can't you see that in so many ways, it's the things that we say which direct the whole course of our life? Our tongue has an influence well beyond itself. And so we should never underestimate what our words are able to do. The Lord wants us to remember tonight that the tongue, that your tongue and my tongue, is extremely powerful. But then the next thing James tells us is that the tongue is also very dangerous. And he uses, again, a graphic illustration. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Just a few weeks ago, I was watching the TV news and a special segment came on commemorating the 20th anniversary of the Eyre Peninsula bushfires in South Australia that happened in January 2005. And some of you might know that Caroline and I and our kids, we were caught up in that event. And so it felt very personal and it felt very poignant. The story reminded me of the enormous devastation that those bushfires caused. And we'd seen it firsthand. We had seen just how quickly and how easily paddocks and bushland can be destroyed, and that houses and property can be razed to the ground, and that even lives can be lost. Because no less than 9 people died on that awful day. And we know that we could so easily have been part of that toll. But do you know how it all started? It started with one small spark from a car driving through some long grass. One spark caused all of that death and devastation. And James says, your tongue can be just like that one little spark. Listen to verse 6. The tongue, he says, also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue might be small, but like a spark, it can cause massive destruction and damage, trauma and tragedy, harm and hurt. It can have a negative impact on your entire existence. It can completely pervert the direction of your life. And it gets its devastating power, James says, directly from hell, from Satan himself. Because he loves nothing better than to see tongues that are out of control and promoting his agenda in this world. Words, my friends, can start wars. Words can destroy reputations. Words can divide families. Words can demolish self-esteem and propel people into depression and despair. Words can discourage those who are trying to serve God. Words can ruin a growth group or a ministry. Words can drive people out of the church and away from the Lord. Makes you think, doesn't it? Have you ever been cut down by searing criticism? Have you ever felt good about yourself until someone else decided to outdo you with their boasting? Have you ever trusted someone but then discovered that they were lying to your face? Have you ever been made to feel worthless and stupid by their snide and sarcastic comments? I'm sure all of us have suffered because of what others have said, but how many have suffered because of what we have said? How often have we been the one whose talk was negative or disparaging or combative or belligerent or divisive or bitter or self-controlled or proud? Who have you spoken to, or who have you spoken about in a way that you wish that you could now take back? But it's all too late. It's actually quite easy to use our tongues to inflict damage, isn't it? We can do it to our spouse, and do it to our children or to our parents. We can do it to our friends, our neighbours, our schoolmates, our workmates. We can do it to the person who is serving us. We can do it to the person who is leading us. We can do it to our brothers and sisters right here at Riverbank. We all know when the words that are pouring out of our own mouths are designed for no other purpose than to cause maximum harm. We want a big note ourselves. We want to hurt others. We want to extract revenge. Of course, we know how to cover it up, don't we? We know how to make out that we're actually being noble and righteous. But God knows the heart. God knows when our motives are impure. Listen to verses 7 and 8. It says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. You only need to look at pets and farms and circuses and zoos to see how wild and even dangerous animals have indeed been tamed. But who can tame this human tongue? Who can tame their own tongue? We may think we have, but then it strikes out again without warning. It loves to find new ways to cause trouble and hurt. It can be so full of poison. We've experienced it and we've caused it. God wants us to understand that the tongue is astonishingly dangerous. But there's one more thing that James tells us. He's pointed out that the tongue is powerful and dangerous, but the tongue is also very revealing. It exposes the state of our own heart. Now don't forget, James is writing to Christians here, not to unbelievers. Christians, just like you and me. He's writing to people who knew the length that Jesus had gone to in order to save us from our sin, and how in response he's calling on us to submit our entire lives to following and serving and honouring him. And that means that just like us, these were people who used their tongues to worship the Lord, to sing and to pray and to teach and to witness for God. But look at what he says in verses 9 and 10. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. How convictingly true that is. We can stand right here and sing songs of praise to the Lord, and on the way home we can speak in ways which utterly besmirch his holy name. For James reminds us that when we curse people who've been made in God's image, we are cursing God. And James says this isn't only wrong, but it should actually be impossible. The last two verses, he says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the very same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Still more powerful imagery. Can fresh water and salt water come from the very same place? Can a tree produce two completely different kinds of fruit? Of course not. And in the very same way, our own hearts should not be producing both praise and cursing. But what that means is that our tongues and the way that we speak reveals what's really going on inside of us. You simply cannot claim to be a godly person if your mouth produces such ungodly fruit. Now, don't get me wrong. We're all still sinners, aren't we? There's going to be times for every one of us when we speak an angry word, when we use foul language, when we talk too much, when we argue needlessly, when we say something unkind about someone, when we break a confidence. But the point is that if we truly belong to Jesus, well then we're going to be so incredibly conscious of these times in our life when we fall so short. When our words are contradicting our love for the Lord, when we realize that we are being hypocrites. And as a result, we will feel utterly devastated at what we have done, and we will grieve, and we will confess the evil words we have spoken before our God, and we will seek not only His forgiveness, but we will seek His strength to change. James isn't suggesting that we're going to be perfect. But he is suggesting that we will be determined to grow so that more and more our words will please and bring glory to our God. As it says in Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Friends, our tongue should never be out of control. We can't claim to be Christians if our mouths produce evil without repentance or remorse. We need to stop making excuses for ourselves. We need to stop pretending, oh, that's just the way we are, or that it's somehow funny or clever or acceptable. We need to stop thinking that it's somehow holy to speak in ways that cause harm to other people. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Of course not. And neither can praise for God flow from the same heart as blasphemy or filthy jokes or racism or sexism or constant complaining or passing judgment or spreading rumors or exaggeration or vindictiveness or slander. Friends, our words, your words, are indeed a reflection of what lives within. Our speech is a barometer of our spirituality. The Lord explains that our tongues are incredibly revealing. But then what are we going to do with this information? Well, there's a sense in which James doesn't really tell us. He boldly declares that our tongues are powerful and dangerous and revealing, but he doesn't really explain how we should respond. But that's because it's quite obvious, isn't it? Friends, we're children of the living God. We've been redeemed by Jesus' costly sacrifice, and we are called to live for him. We're called to be holy and to reflect his image in this world. And so we should ask ourselves, how did our Saviour use his tongue? He didn't lie or bicker or brag. He didn't express unholy anger or slander or resentment. Our Saviour used his words to express nothing but truth and honesty and love and compassion and life and salvation. Isaiah 53 says, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2 picks up on this. And Peter writes, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Our Lord Jesus always used his words to build up and not to tear down, to encourage and not disparage, to bring life and not death. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 4, we find these telling words. Paul says, that is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him according to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And listen to how he applies that. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Perhaps tonight you've realized that there's an area in your life where you're falling short, where your talk is unwholesome, where your talk dishonors God. If the Holy Spirit's actually at work in us, then I can't imagine that any of us haven't seen that in ourselves tonight. Are you convicted? I know that I am. I know that I'm deeply affected by these words. Is it criticism? Or grumbling, bitterness, malice, dirty talk, innuendo, nagging, bickering, arrogance, boasting, rage, unforgiveness. So just constantly putting other people down because it makes you feel better about yourself. Let's be perfectly honest tonight. We all have our struggles, and our words are not always helpful for building others up. And sometimes they do the opposite, for the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Time for us to get real about the sins of the tongue and to humble ourselves before God. Let's get down on our knees in confession and seek his grace and his forgiveness. Friends, let's trust that Jesus truly will wash these sins away from us, and he will help us to rise above them. So let's pray that the Spirit truly will make us new in the way that we use our mouths. Friends, let's think carefully about the things we say, the way we talk, the way we interact. Remember that words are powerful. Remember the damage they can do. May our speech truly reveal integrity and wisdom and holiness. And may our words always bring praise and glory to our Saviour and our King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the confronting nature of your word. Lord, that it is like a mirror that shows us so clearly what we're really like. Lord, thank you for this passage that compels us to consider how we are using our tongues. Lord, we know the sins we commit when we open our mouths. We know how we try to justify ourselves, claiming that we're just speaking the truth, even when we're doing so with malice and without love. We know how badly we can react, especially when others do us wrong. Please forgive us for our evil words. Father in heaven, please wash us and make us clean. Please clothe us in the righteousness of Jesus himself. And please help us to follow his example as the one who had no deceit in his mouth and did not retaliate when others did him harm. Lord, we want to learn more and more about how to put away unwholesome talk and instead to speak in ways that are helpful for building others up, ways befitting of those whom you have chosen to be your own. Father, please work mightily within every single one of us by your Holy Spirit. We truly do pray, take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.